Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we're back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Let me tell you about our guest this hour, our good friend, Mark Allen. Mark is a Phi Beta Kappa from the University of Minnesota with a degree in theater arts and English literature. He later became a small business owner, and we'll get him to tell us a little bit about that, how that all that worked out. He co-founded a publishing company called New World Library, which he has guided as president and publisher, and he's the author of several books, two of which I have in front of me. One of them is called The Visionary Life, Conversations on Personal and Planetary Evolution, and also this one that we're talking about today, which he and I have discussed in the past, called Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success. Mark, welcome back.
Jim, thanks. Great to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you with us, sir. And tell our audience a little bit, Mark, about why you decided to write the book Visionary Business.
It actually started as a manual for my employees. Many of them had come on fairly recently and didn't know where this business originated and my business philosophy. So I wrote a manual for my employees, a history of the company, and then some friends read it and said, you know, there's some good things in here. This could be a book. It was a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
It went through about 7 drafts.
How long did it take you?
It took me about 3 years.
See, I like to point this out for folks, Mark, because that and your metamorphosis from an actor to a business person, which took longer than 3 years, didn't it?
Yes, that's for sure.
Because you started out in theater, didn't you?
Right. Right, in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until my 30th birthday I even decided to start a business. That's the day I found the first key to visionary business.
Which is?
It really was my 30th birthday where I was pacing up and down realizing I was a poverty case and looking at my life and realizing I was unemployed and I had no direction in life.
Were you disappointed in yourself?
Well, in some ways I was.
Did you know some other 30-year-olds, people you'd grown up with or whatever, and golly, they just seemed to be doing so much better than you?
Right. Some just seemed to know exactly what they were doing. One of my best friends in high school went right to work for Cargill, the big corporation,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in an executive capacity. He went to Yale and then Cargill, and
yeah.
So he was well on his way.
And you were actually, you considered yourself to be a poverty case.
Well, yes, I was. I mean, I had no money at all. It was...
And no possibilities.
No, I didn't have any possibilities. It was the late 60s. It was kind of cool to be a poverty case.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as if we thought ourselves as broke or anything.
Yeah.
But that got old. It got old when I realized other people were supporting me that couldn't really afford to support me in just little ways, $10 here, $20 there from relatives and friends. I was living off other people.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that?
That I didn't feel good about.
Yeah.
And that was one reason I started to look at my life. And then I stumbled on the first key to visionary business. My 30th birthday, pacing up and down in my little slum apartment, I remembered a game I played years before where you imagine 5 years have passed and everything has gone as well as you could imagine. What does your life look like? And I did that in this big picture, what felt at the time like a big picture, sprang up of owning my own business and writing books and writing music.
And you had no business background really at all prior to that?
None.
The fact that you thought about owning a business was really a surprise to you, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, it was totally startling to
me. See, it wouldn't be, for somebody who's in business working for an employer and you'd like to own a business, that would be a natural thing for them to think of in 5 years. But that was a total shock to you.
Right. It was a complete shock. And the only business, I'd never taken a course in it. The only experience I'd had been a few jobs I'd done here and there. And in one, I'd worked for one of the world's worst bosses, which in hindsight turned out to be a great thing and great experience, because
right.
I realized if I did everything opposite
right.
that this guy did, I could do well.
Well said. You know, Mark, I tell people that all the time. I tell people I learned some of the best lessons I've ever learned. Some of my mentors were horrible
yes.
people.
Yeah.
They were either horrible people or horrible managers, and they didn't know they were my mentors, and they did not. They weren't my mentors by what they did great. They were my mentors by what they did horrible.
Exactly. This guy's main belief was that he needed to hold on to every dollar possible and pay everybody as little as possible.
Yeah.
And I saw the results of that. It was chaos. People were always quitting. The stress level was so high. He looked 20 years older than he was.
Mm-hmm.
He finally died of a heart attack. He never got to enjoy his money anyway.
Right.
Oh, it was a mess.
But the one thing that I really like to hear you tell is how that from your 30th birthday, when you had this epiphany or whatever it was that happened to you, from that moment on until you actually considered yourself to be, hey, I think I might make it. I think I've got a little critical mass here. Was several years, wasn't it?
Oh yes, yes.
And you didn't. You still had to take jobs in the meantime.
Right, right. In fact, my first business plan was, and I knew nothing. I didn't even know what a business plan was. I knew nothing about financing, even loans. I didn't know how banks worked or anything.
Yeah.
I was totally naive. So my first plan was very simple, and it turned out to be effective. It was to get a job, any kind of job, and try to save 20% of that money to invest in my startup company.
So this, you had this dream that you wanted to invest in, but you weren't actually able to start out living that dream at all at first, were you?
Right, right.
The only part of it you were actually living was just the plans that you were making and a little bit of money you were saving.
Right.
The reason I like for you to point that out, Mark, and I want to talk about this some more when we come back after this break. So many times I talk to people either on email or on the show or otherwise in person, and they want to be in business, and they want to be in business right now.
Yes.
They want to do it right now. They've got this idea, they've got this product they want to sell, and they don't even know where they're going to buy the product that they have to sell. And I try to point out to people that a lot of times it takes a long time. And I want you to tell us a little bit more about that when we come back after these messages. It's 20 after the hour, folks. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. When we come back, we're going to get Mark to tell us something that he calls the ideal scene. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Mark Allen, the author of Visionary Business, an Entrepreneur's Guide to Success. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Mark, when we took the last break, I was going to get you to tell us again, tell us how long it went. You went from the time that you said, this is what I want to do in 5 years, to actually being able to say, I'm actually doing that now.
Yeah. It took me 10 years to really achieve my 5-year plans to have a successful business.
See, I want you to say that again. Say the last part of what you just said.
It took me 10 years to really be successful.
To accomplish your 5-year goal.
Yes. At age 30, I was a poverty case. At age 35, I was $65,000 in credit card debt and close to bankruptcy, although I don't believe in bankruptcy, so it would never happen.
Right.
But by age 40, the pieces were together. I was a millionaire. The business was together and very successful.
Mm-hmm.
But it took 10 years. Now
if
I'd known more about business, I think it would have been more like 5 years.
Okay.
It took me 5 years to learn what a business plan was, how to do it.
But there are so many people, Mark, who are just like you right now. They've been downsized, right-sized, whatever, and they really don't know that much about business. They know that they like this or that, and they'd like to follow, you know, they'd like to start a business doing this or that because it's something they're interested in, or maybe they've even got some experience in it, but they still don't know anything about running a business. As you said, they don't even know anything about how a bank works or how they loan money or whatever. And And there are just millions of people out there like that. And you know what? It's okay to be like that. What I try to encourage people to realize, though, is that if you're going to be successful in the long term, you're going to have to take the long view, which is what you did. And so I like to use you as a good example of someone who went from zero to 60, but it took you 10 years.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You were telling me off the break, and I mean during the break, you were telling me a little bit about something that's going on in your company right now. You were having a meeting.
Oh yeah,
let's talk about that.
We were having a meeting, and it came up where people were just complaining about all the changes in the book industry and the chains getting so powerful, and the independents that have always been our core, the little independent booksellers have always been our champions.
They're in trouble, aren't they?
There aren't so many of them are in trouble. Now, some of them aren't. Some of them are successful, but a lot of them are just struggling. I use the phrase, there's a great depression going on. Mm-hmm. I think most of it's mental, but they believe it. And as Henry Ford said, if you believe you can, or if you believe you can't, you're right.
Either one is going to come true.
Yeah. So a lot of people believe, oh, it's impossible to make it having a small bookstore these days, so they're going out of business. And it went on for 15, 20 minutes about all the problems. People were just contributing to the conversation. And it's always so easy, and it's necessary to pinpoint problems. But finally, I had to say, okay, now, what are the opportunities here for us? Are there benefits here? Because that's right in my book. That's a key to visionary business. It's just a phrase that I heard one time, and it just... a light went off in my brain, and I wrote it down. I said, that is the key to visionary business. Within every adversity is an equal or greater opportunity.
Right.
And when you look for the opportunity, it turns your thinking around.
And if you want to know the definition of vision, vision is seeing that opportunity in that adversity.
Yes. Excellent, Jim.
And so if you wonder if you have vision, or if you wonder what makes people successful, one of the things that a lot of people who are successful, they have that vision. It doesn't have anything to do with education, and maybe not even as much experience. Mm-hmm. They just have that vision. I don't know if you know anybody like this, but I know people who basically didn't even get out of high school. Who some of them, maybe even barely got in high school,
mm-hmm.
and they're multimillionaires because they had this vision.
Yep. And some people have called me an optimist, and I said, well, I'm not really an optimist, but I do focus on the half of the glass that's full.
Right.
Because the people that are always looking at the empty half never build anything. You've got to look at what you've got, your strengths, your opportunities,
mm-hmm.
before you can maximize it.
Right, exactly. Mark, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to be right back with our good friend Mark Allen, the author of Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success. He's also the author of A Visionary Life. And all those are available in bookstores. We'll tell you about that when we come back. We're also going to get Mark to talk to us a little bit about partnerships, what he thinks about having a partnership. 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. Thank you very much for being with us today. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255 if you have a question for me or my special guest, our good friend Mark Allen. And Mark is the author of A Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success. And Mark, tell us where they can get your book.
Well, it should be in every bookstore. Otherwise, we have an 800 number.
All right.
Also, Amazon.com.
All right. Go ahead and give your 800 number out.
1-800-97-BOOKS or 1-800-972-6657.
And I can't remember if you have a website or not.
Yes, we do.
Go ahead.
It's www.nwlib.com for New World Library.
nwlib.com.
Right.
Okay. Great. Check that out, folks. Mark, let's talk about partnerships. Now, you and I may have similar views of partnerships, but I know that's something that you've been talking about and thinking about lately. What do you think about partnerships for small business owners? And we're not just, folks, we're not just talking about the classic partnership here either. Go ahead, Mark.
Right. I think the classic partnership form is difficult. I remember a consultant saying to me, partnerships don't work.
Yeah.
And at the time, we were organized as a partnership, and he pinpointed our problems because there were two of us. We were both responsible. And so what happened is often neither of us were responsible, thinking the other person was handling it.
Right.
And that's what he was saying. One person has to be responsible. The buck has to stop with somebody. And he even suggested, if you do have a partnership, alternating responsibility every year or every 6 months.
Right.
Something like that. But more and more I've been talking about partnership. We did the cassette version of this brilliant book called The Chalice and the Blade by Reanne Eisler, this genius anthropologist who looks at world history and says, in effect, the world history we've studied is almost always Greece, Rome, Europe, the U.S. It's what she calls the dominator model.
Mm-hmm.
And for 30,000 years before the dominator model, and always struggling to be reborn within it, is what she calls the partnership model.
Hmm.
The book is subtitled Our History, Our Future. And she says so eloquently that the key to success for us politically, as well as for us personally in our relationships and in our business and everything else, is to realize that we have the partnership model. We're in partnership with everybody. And we need to make all those partnerships work for everybody involved. So when I look at my business, I realize I have a partnership with every one of my employees.
Mm-hmm.
I have a partnership with every one of my authors. And even my consumers, the people that buy my books, it's a partnership.
Well, how does that attitude, how do you extend that attitude to the people that you compete against?
Well, it's very interesting to talk about competition. I don't even believe that I need to compete with anybody except myself.
Mm-hmm.
And all I need to do is the greatest possible books, in my case,
mm-hmm.
that I can do, and then...
Let them speak for themselves.
Let them speak for themselves. And it's a wide world out there. There's billions of people. There's plenty of room for everything.
Yeah.
So I don't even worry about partnership. I did give a talk a while ago in Silicon Valley, and some of the people there were just saying, in effect, well, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and it's very competitive, and we have to have spies and do this and that. And in effect, I said to them, you're trapped in the dominator model.
Yeah.
And as long as you're, because I was saying you can get to a place where you love, where you do only what you love to do, and you don't even worry about competition. And they were saying impossible, and I said, well, actually, it is impossible where you're stuck in your minds. It's impossible.
Well, one thing you can't do, I agree with you in one way, and I think I may disagree with you in another way. And the way I agree with you is in the fact that if you want to be successful, focus your energy and your vision and your brain power on making sure that you produce the best that you possibly can produce. That you really focus on how can I make this better for my clients or for my customers and my employees and those around me. But at the same time, because of the way our marketplace works, you cannot be ignorant of what the competition is doing. Now, that doesn't mean that you should be plotting against them, but it does mean that you do have to keep up with what they're doing. Because, you know, if you're working on something that they're a year ahead of you on, then you need to change your tactics. You need to change your plans.
Yeah. No, and I absolutely agree with that. I do feel fortunate to be in books where there's 50,000 books done every year.
Right.
And every one of them is different. And
mm-hmm.
You can try to copy someone else, but it's going to be a different book.
Right. But it'd be hard to have this conversation with Bill Gates, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right. It'd be interesting to have it. I'd love
be.
To have it with Bill Gates.
It would be.
But,
you know,
because he definitely is in a brutally competitive environment.
Well, and they are definitely following the dominator model, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe there's a place for kind of a modified dominator model in certain things where you need to build some kind of critical mass.
But I agree with you, and I think the point that you make is well said, and that is that focus more of your time and your energy on improving yourself and your products and services, and less time on worrying about what the competition is doing or going to do.
Yeah, as the head of PepsiCo said, I love his phrase because it sums up partnership model. He said it should be a dance with our customers and our employees. It should be a dance.
Right. Absolutely.
Not a struggle.
Right. You know, one of the things that I tell people in using the literal partnership example is when people talk about going into partnerships, and that is that I'm not saying you shouldn't go into partnerships. I think people, there are places for partnerships, but what I tell them is partnerships, think about this first. Partnerships are good for two things, sex and dancing. And that may be a little bit of a negative attitude towards partnership, but if you go into a partnership with that attitude, you'll probably develop a better partnership.
Yeah, there is a huge trap in partnerships if they're set up as mine was at first, where you say, we'll both do the same amount of work.
Right.
You know, we'll split it this 50-50, we'll both work really hard. Well, inevitably, one person thinks he's contributing a whole lot more than the other and doesn't feel good about it.
Exactly. Now, that happens. There's no question about it. And typically, the partnership that you want to try to form, if you actually do form a partnership, and even though you may be structured as a corporation, you still are, if you've got another person who is an equal partner in that corporation with you, and you can have a corporation and still have a partner, you still have to define what everyone's going to do, and you need to try to find a partner who complements you.
Yeah.
So that they do something that you don't want to do, and you do something they don't want to do.
Exactly.
Stand by, Mark. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 41 after. All right, we're back. It's 45 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend Mark Allen. He's the author of Visionary Business and Entrepreneur's Guide to Success, which I recommend to you folks. And Mark, it's available in bookstores. And it's available online, and it's available at your 800 number, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and give that number out again.
1-800-97-BOOKS, or 1-800-972-6657.
Let's talk about something that I really like to make sure that you mention whenever you're on the show, Mark, and that is something that I think I've told you this before, but the first time you were on back in the summer, you talked about something that you have a little saying that you came up with that you found that you actually someone else gave it to you, so to speak.
Right.
And I want you to talk about that. But folks, when Mark said this, what he's about to say, that was back, I think it was in the summer, I think August maybe, when you were here last time, the first time, Mark. A month or two later, literally at least 30 days, maybe 2 months later, I got an email from a member of the audience. And he said, you know, Jim, you had a person on the show, and I think he remembered your name, and he said this, and I wrote it down. He said, now it's on my desk, and I start my morning every day with this.
Oh, great.
And I'll tell you what, Mark, you made a difference in that person's life, I'm sure many others, and I want you to say it again, because it's so therapeutic. It's such a centering. It's just a set of words that really helps to center you and cleanses your mind of a lot of negative thoughts. Go ahead.
Yeah, it sure does.
Tell us the story a little bit about how you got it and then say it.
Well, it was actually, again, it was my 30th birthday when I did my ideal scene and when I really thought about my ideal, owning my own business, writing books and writing music and having a beautiful house. My ideal also included a lifestyle that was easy and relaxed and healthy and positive. And this phrase popped into mind that I had read in a book by a Unity church minister named Catherine Ponder in the 70s. And I started, I made a list of my long-term goals, and I started affirming before each long-term goal. And my first long-term goal was always the sales level of my business. But I would preface it by saying, in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, New World Library now reaches sales of blah, blah, blah.
Say that again.
In an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way.
That's what, those words, folks, are what this listener said that he had written down and that he started his morning, every morning with, in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way. And, you know, to me, that, and I've said this before to you, Mark, and maybe to my audience, but you know, I have little spot prayers that I say for myself mm-hmm. sometimes, and but this is like a little spot prayer. You have to say it. To me, you need to close your eyes, and just sort of relax a little bit. Maybe relax your shoulders a little bit. If you feel your day getting too tense, if you feel that things are closing in around you, close your eyes. Try to relax your shoulders a little bit. Let your eyes roll back in your head a little bit, and then say these words. Go ahead, Mark. Say it again.
In an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way.
And then whatever
your goal.
Whatever your goal is, whatever's going on, in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, I'm not going to let this person make me nuts today.
I'm going to achieve such and such. Or,
right. It could be for a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Years later, I realized that single phrase overcame so much of the negative thinking we have about success that I had. A lot of our deep beliefs are that it isn't easy, it won't be relaxed, it'll be stressful, it'll maybe be unhealthy, maybe it won't even be positive. So just by saying those four words really helps overcome years of negative conditioning, I believe.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, as I mentioned, I have little spot prayers that I say, and a lot of times I find myself during the day saying things like, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow," and that helps to center me a little bit, and to get a little bit of the tension out of my body, but your words too, I really appreciate you sharing those with us again, and we got to take a quick break here, Mark, when we come back, folks. We're going to get Mark to tell us a little bit more about how to spend some time in solitude and how to get those negative thoughts out of your mind, some other ways to do that. 888-822-8255. It's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend, Mark Allen. We are back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend, Mark Allen, the author of two outstanding books that I recommend you check out. One is called A Visionary Life, Conversations on Personal and Planetary Evolution. We're going to get Mark back one of these days to tell us about that book. But the other one that we're talking about, and we have been this hour and other hours when he's been with us a couple of times over the last year or so, it's called Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success by Mark Allen, and that's available in bookstores, online, and on his website, and also the 800 number that he's going to give you again right now.
Great. 1-800-97-BOOKS, 1-800-972-6657.
Website, quickly.
www.nwlib.com.
NWLIB. Check that out, folks. Yeah. I recommend. The reason I said quickly, Mark, is because this is the last and the shortest segment of the hour. And one of the things I wanted to do, though, is you and I were talking off the air, and you were saying that you've read a lot of success books where there was all this tension and all this, that everything had to be, go, 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 and you know, there was all this angst that was built up. And you think that maybe it doesn't have to be that way.
I sure don't. I think the unspoken message in Think and Grow Rich and so many others is, in fact, in Think and Grow Rich, they actually use the phrase, you have to have a burning obsession.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you definitely have to be clearly focused on your goal, but I think having a burning obsession, and I think the unspoken message behind so many of those books has bred a whole generation of workaholics.
But Mark, you're a very successful person now, but you weren't always so successful.
Right.
You've already told us about that.
Yes.
And you can't tell me that while you were getting your business off the ground, while you were in that 10-year period that you were doing your 5-year plan, that you didn't have periods when you were obsessively burning.
Oh, that's true.
And so the reason I say that is that I tell people on the show all the time, and many of my guests do, that you know, you've got to be prepared to sacrifice. You've got to be prepared to work harder than you've ever worked before. You've got to be prepared to work holidays and weekends and nights, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the thing that what you have to say to me is so important, Mark, is that you talk to us about how to step away from that for a little bit, step out of that merry-go-round, that whirlwind a little bit, and sort of center yourself a little bit and allow yourself to focus on some positive thoughts. And I really like that idea, and I know that's what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really good to think about why do we want to create this successful business in the first place? What is our end, and what is our ideal? You know, most of, at least for me, it's to have an easy and relaxed, a healthy and positive life.
Right. Tell the audience, we've got about 30 seconds, let's talk about the ideal scene, which you described earlier in the hour, that your ideal scene was when you were 30 years old, you'd have all this other stuff. Talk to us, and again, I've got about 30 seconds, talk to us about the ideal scene.
Right, that is the first key to visionary business, and it leads to all the others, and you just imagine 5 years have passed, you suspend all your doubts and fears and all your critical thinking, and imagine your ideal. What do you really want your life to look like?
Anything's possible while you're thinking about this.
Absolutely anything, yes.
Yeah.
And then you sit and look at that, and then you realize you've got several long-term goals in there, and you write all those long-term goals down. You affirm, at least I affirm, I will reach them in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way. And then I find within those long-term goals what short-term step I can take today.
And that becomes your first page of your business plan, perhaps. Mark, thank you very much for being with us. As always, you did a great job. Looking forward to having you back.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much. See you later. All right, folks, I got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.